If I took the time to ask you this morning why you're here this morning, I would probably get as many different answers as there's people here. But I believe there is one thing that each of us has in common this morning. There's something that each of you did this morning in being here. Each of us did that. And that is we made a sacrifice. Maybe it was the sacrifice of listening to your mom and dad because you had to come. Maybe it was the sacrifice of not doing something else, whatever it happens to be, sleeping in, hanging out outside on a nice, gorgeous day like this morning has been. But everybody here this morning had to make a sacrifice to be here, if you stop and think about it. Some of us were probably a lot more willing than others to make that sacrifice. I've titled the message this morning, A Living Sacrifice. And this isn't a message that I was looking to preach. It's not something that I wanted to speak on, but I felt that I was supposed to. And it's definitely not something that I feel that I've mastered. Far from it. I told someone this morning, I think I spent the week stepping on my toes. What does a life of sacrifice look like? What is a sacrificial life supposed to accomplish? What does it come from in the life of a believer? What does it come out of? I'm going to share a couple of quotes with you. The first one is from Aristotle. He says, I count him braver who overcomes his desires than him who conquers his enemies. For the hardest victory is the victory over self. Plato said this, the first and best victory is to conquer self. To be conquered by self is, of all things, most shameful and vile. Joseph Flanley says this, all the trouble in the world is due to selfishness. It always has been and always will be. And I think he's right. Pride is at the root of almost everything bad, which leads to selfishness. Looking out for number one. Self and selfishness is pretty much the polar opposite of sacrifice. And the world that we live in, the society that we live in, is all about looking out for yourself. Does it make me feel good? Does it make me look good? Is it easier? Do I deserve this? That's how society would have us look at life. The Bible is the polar opposite. Reading from the New Living Translations, Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. It's Jesus speaking. As you think about sacrifice this morning, and I invite you to do that with me, how does it play out in your life? Are you a person who sacrifices much or who sacrifices little? Sacrifice is not easy, and it's almost always not very fun at the time. There's rewards for it, but it's not fun or easy. How does it affect your relationships? How about your marriage, your family? And I think our priorities come into play as well. Do we have God first, then others, then self? Or do we have it turned around? If we listen to the world, our priorities are going to be upside down. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices that God required was the slaying of an animal. It was a dead sacrifice. But Christ calls us to be living sacrifices today. That's what he wants from us. And he was the prime example of that. He gave his very life. You can turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be looking at a few other scriptures as well, but Romans 12 will be the main text this morning. I want to read the first two verses and then look at three aspects of sacrifice from those two verses. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We could probably quote them, but I'm going to read them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is calling us to be a living sacrifice. We're to emulate Jesus. Jesus modeled that for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I think the first aspect that I'd like to look at of sacrifice is that God wants our bodies. And that's not always fun, as you can probably testify to. That can affect all kinds of aspects of our lives, the fact that God wants our bodies. We're here physically this morning. We're commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in Scripture. But what sacrifices do we make in giving God our bodies throughout the week on a day-to-day basis? Are we present with our families? For you dads. And it can apply to all aspects of our life. What do you allow your body to ingest? What do we eat? How much do we eat? What do we look at? It applies to almost anything, but God wants our bodies because He wants to, and He will, indwell us as believers. Romans 8, verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Again, God indwells us. He wants your body. Romans 6, 12 through 13. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin." I'm sorry, I have the wrong chapter. Chapter 6, 12 and 13. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." God wants to have the availability to use us as His instruments. And my question to you this morning is, are you at His disposal? Have you made the sacrifices necessary that you can be the instrument of righteousness? Or it appears that the opposite is that we're instruments of unrighteousness. It's what He's calling us out of. But God wants our bodies. He requires it in order for us to be a living sacrifice. And in verse 2, it says that it's our reasonable service. It's actually an act of worship that we can do daily. And I think, if you're honest, it's a daily thing. We wake up in the morning and the sacrifices begin, unless we're not willing to make them. But giving God our bodies daily can be a daily act of worship to God. It's our reasonable service. Secondly, God wants our minds. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word "transformed" there is actually the same word that's used in Matthew 17 when Jesus was transfigured and was taken up, or when the others came down to Him, actually. At the transfiguration, it's the same form of the Greek word that was used here. And it means it's a metamorphosis. It's a change that begins within. And God wants to work that change within us. It's in our minds. So the question then is, are we transformed or aren't we? Are we going to be of the world and be a conformer? Or are we going to allow God to work that metamorphosis in our heads, in our minds, and become transformers? No longer conforming, but transforming. That's what God wants to do, not only in us, but through us if we avail ourselves to Him. I think the keys to giving God our mind are pretty simple and pretty basic, and we all know it's something that as believers that we need to be doing. But far too often it's something that we're weak in. And that is dedicating time to prayer, spending time with God, talking with Him, and then in His Word. I think it's through the process of saturating ourselves in God's Word and getting to know Him better, working on our relationship with Him, that transformation will take place in our minds. God wants your body and He wants your mind. And then the third one is He wants your will. I believe it's impossible for us to be a victorious Christian if we haven't yielded our will to God. We can do the right things. We can say the right things. But I don't think we're going to be a victorious Christian unless we've actually yielded our will and said, God, I'm yours. And like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. It's that ultimate sacrifice of saying, God, I'm feeling so strongly in my heart what I want to do, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, I'm yours. You do it. It's giving in to whatever it happens to be that you want to do, giving it up, not giving in, giving it up. God wants your body, your mind, and your will. I'd like to read a little further in Romans 12, picking up at verse 9. And look at the behavior. I think this is a whole list of some of the attributes or the behavior of a person who is a living sacrifice.